Own bank in Nebraska since 1938, serving individual and commercial customers with a range of banking products, including agricultural loans. PennBank.com, member FDIC.
Another nice morning, 26 degrees out there, a few clouds, but feeling pretty good about this forecast. The rain over the weekend has gone away, and we're expecting 44 for a high today. Nice sunny day, nice and calm. Maybe a little breeze from the southwest, but we don't even notice, do we? No. 28 for the overnight low tonight. Sunshine and 44 tomorrow. A little bit of a south breeze. Saturday, sunny, 50. And Sunday says sunshine with 40. 48 for Monday, 53. Is that okay?
That's fine.
Tuesday,
that's
Wednesday?
Fine. Yeah.
Maybe all done. Get the golf clubs out.
Well,
pull something in your back.
You're hopeful, aren't you?
Then recover a couple weeks later.
Yeah, exactly.
No, the forecast looking pretty good. We are keeping an eye on the Platte and the Elkhorn, hoping just for gradual melting, and all the residents out there on Ridge Road. Last report was that water had gone down a bit yesterday along Ridge Road and in that area, Hormel Park. But it's so iffy back and forth from big pieces of ice jamming into the trees and such. Yeah. So we'll keep an eye on it, though.
All right. Very good, Chris. That's our weather update brought to you this hour by Pinnacle Bank, which defines teamwork as a group of people coming together to go further. Whatever you're planning to take on, they will help you get there. Pinnacle Bank, the way banking should be. Member FDIC. It is 7:06. It is Thursday morning, and this is the segment when we bring in Mark Shepherd, the superintendent of Fremont Public Schools, to chat with us about what's going on at FPS. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
I tell you what, I'm seeing a lot of you way too much lately. You know, ball games and everything else. Yeah. And now he's following me into work in the mornings.
I know.
It's good to have you along here, Mark.
It's great to be here.
As we usually start off with what's related to the school system, of course, we take a look at the risk dial, and it's convenient that you come in on Thursdays because that risk dial comes out on Wednesdays. Went down again. That's good news.
It is good news. Yeah, it went from 2.43 down to 2.14. So we're getting closer to getting back to the yellow. And I think that's something we need to remind the public of. They keep seeing that number trend in the right direction, but the reality is COVID is still here. It's still a virus. We are getting, you know, some people vaccinated now across the community in the area, but we still need to be very diligent in our response and following the protocol.
And when you take a look at within the school system, we always take a look at the number of students and the number of teachers that have COVID or out because of that. That's pretty much the same from last week.
It is. Right? It's very similar to last week. I think as of yesterday, we had 7 students and 6 teachers that were out with COVID positive tests. And so we'll continue to monitor that, obviously, throughout the school year. But it's definitely staying at a level that's manageable and staying at a level that, you know, for really the entire year, we've been able to keep students in school, and that's been a really good thing. I read an article yesterday about one of the larger school districts in the state that beginning the middle of March, they're going to move back to full time every day. And I thought they were, but you know, we've been there since the beginning of the year, and really proud of our teachers and our staff and our parents and our students. They've been able to really follow the protocol and keep our students and staff safe.
Right. And I know when you take a look at other schools, like I saw that Cedar Bluffs is a much smaller schools district. We
sure.
all know that. I think they had their first week this school year where they did not have any students that had COVID. So we want to get there.
And you know, with 4,800 students, it's hard to get there because the reality is that's a community about the size of Wahoo.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
To only have single digits right now, that's really a positive thing. But I think we do have to be cautious. You know, obviously, it's getting warmer out, 50s next week, and people think, well, you know, kind of flu season's over. Well, this isn't the flu, and we've said that from the very beginning. We've learned that from the very beginning. But the good news is it has been managed well, and I think if we can continue to follow our protocol, we're embarking on the end of the winter sports season and the start of the spring sports season, and hopefully we can get through the rest of the school year.
Yeah, very good.
Mark, on the vaccination side, have teachers been able to get vaccinated, or have you had a few, or where does that stand?
So our first vaccination clinic was last week, and we were able to, I think 172 people were able to get vaccinated. And so that was really a positive. very early on in late December, early January. School nurses were able to get vaccinated just simply because they were in that first group 1A. The 1B group, 65 plus is the priority, obviously, and will continue to be the priority. But they can allow for some of the 1B group for that next essential worker class. And so teachers fall into that group. Some of our neighboring school districts, smaller school districts, they've been in getting pretty close to having all their people vaccinated. But that's really, again, a function of size. So right. You mentioned Cedar Bluffs earlier. I think they had about 3/4 of their staff. So you're talking about 25 people. Right. When you look at our total number of employees, we're just a little bit north of 900 when you include our substitute teachers. And so 172 is a good start. But now, we just have to wait for more vaccine to be available.
Very good. Well, in Nebraska, you have the choice to enroll where you want to go to school. And with that, there's a deadline coming up for next year, right?
There is. The state option enrollment date is March 15th. And so what that means is if you want an automatic transfer through option, you do need to either go to the school office where you're currently attending mm-hmm. or go to the school office where you'd like to attend and fill out some option paperwork. We do allow, and almost every school district allows options after March 15th. We've set ours as September 1 because we know by September 1 our enrollment is pretty much stabilized. We know who's coming back, who's not. Mm-hmm. We know what our staffing is. And so we do allow all the way through September 1, but the other school district doesn't necessarily have to let them out after March 15th. So that's an important date. Right now, the legislature's in session. They're talking a lot about school choice. They're talking about some tax incentives for private and parochial schools. And we have school choice in the state of Nebraska. It's public school choice. Mm-hmm. And the dollars pretty much follow the students through that program.
Let's see. Activity-wise, I got some big postseason events coming up here this weekend, correct?
We do. We have girls district tonight, boys in basketball, boys basketball districts tomorrow night. Those are both at the Elbaugh Gymnasium. And we have changed our protocol. I think last Thursday we talked about we were still on a list. And then later that morning we got together and based on NSAA guidance and working with Three Rivers, we were able to change our guidance now to 50% capacity. Mm-hmm. So when you think about the Elbaugh Gymnasium, that's a capacity of just over 2,000 people. Mm-hmm. And so, we're glad that we're able to open that up. We have a small student section, and they're socially distanced within the student section. We do require everyone that comes into our facility still to have their temperature taken, and then also wear a mask. And so we don't have any concessions because you can't eat popcorn through a mask. But it's good to see people back in the gym and supporting our students and all of our students. We had a great celebration last Friday night where we recognized cool. our mm-hmm. state champions and our state medalists and in our fall and winter sports so far mm-hmm. With the bowlers and the wrestlers and cross-country students. And then also Alex Bigsby on the tennis side. Then we have state swimming. That starts tomorrow, and we're super excited about that. Our athletes did a great job in the Heartland Athletic Conference swim meet this year, and so it'll be fun to see how they do down at state.
Yeah, looking forward to that. I tried. Mm-hmm. I saw Chris try to eat popcorn through a mask the other day. It was highly entertaining.
I did it.
Yeah, exactly. You got an early out for teachers tomorrow. Is that right?
We do.
Okay.
We're out 2 hours early tomorrow. Same pattern that we've been on as far as the release times. And if you're not sure of the release times, please visit our website. But the purpose of that is so that our teachers have time to continue to develop lessons within Canvas and Seesaw, our online learning management systems, and then also to be able to touch base with the students that are out on virtual learning. Mm-hmm. We're down to about 240 students that are on virtual learning. But, that's one of the things that's kept us in school mm-hmm. is the ability for parents to choose. Right. One time this year, we were up to 876 students that were out on virtual learning. Mm-hmm. And so we're proud of the fact that we've been able to get students back in class. We know that's the most effective way for students right. to learn. And so, but we also need to, allow our teachers some time to be able to prepare those lessons.
I'll ask you a quick question. I know it's not on our list here this morning, but from talking to other superintendents and other schools, Do you get a sense that there might be some parents that want to, after all this is all done, still want to have their children do a virtual learning type of thing, or will that be an option?
You know, it's something that we continue to look at. Mm-hmm. I know some districts have stated that they're going to do that. I saw an article this week where Lincoln Public Schools did a survey and found out they had quite a few people interested. Then they went through a sign-up period. And so they have almost 40,000 students, and they have about 875, they said, in that survey or in the actual sign-up results mm-hmm. that want to stay on virtual. The challenge of that is managing it from the teacher side.
Sure, yeah.
We chose early on to not be asynchronous. So in other words, not at the exact same time as our in students or in class students. The advantage of that is they can go into that lesson anytime, 24/7, and access it. Because a lot of those lessons do require some help from parents. And so if the parents are at work, it's really hard to manage that through an asynchronous type scenario. Or I should say synchronous. Asynchronous would be not when the students are in class. But, you know, it's something we'll continue to look at, in particular for high school students where maybe they're engaged in some work opportunities or, you know, attending part-time community college and other trainings. It could be a viable option.
Okay. Yeah, I was just curious about that. Thank you. Talk to me a little bit about the CARES Act funding and where things stand right now.
So we're just now getting more definitive information on how we can utilize CARES Act funding. The first round of CARES Act funding obviously came early on through the pandemic, and that allowed us to purchase PPE, that allowed us to, in some cases, hire some additional people or provide additional hours. And then a lot of technology was purchased so that we could deliver the curriculum online. The second round now, so that in that first round, we received about $800,000, and then our private and parochials received a portion as well. Now with the second round, they're looking at a larger amount, could be in the $3 million range, but it's going to be a little more restrictive as to what you can do with it. And sure. So yesterday we received an email. We had a Zoom conference call yesterday afternoon where we kind of talked about some of the things that we can use CARES Act for.
I see. Very good. Well, as we wrap up this morning, last month you had your facility survey that took place, and the public and also those in the school system were able to fill that out and give their opinions on what they would like to see as kind of what I would call it would be a wish list of things to be done throughout the facilities. What were some of the major themes that came out of that?
You know, a couple of the major themes, people were very, very supportive of anything that had to do with safety and security, as you can imagine, technology, energy efficiency, and upgrades to air quality. When you think about air quality, it makes perfect sense. This year with the pandemic, that's been a big, big topic. And we've brought in people to do some air sampling and make sure that we're getting the appropriate air turnover. We've adjusted some of our dampers, for example, so that we do get more fresh air into the classrooms with COVID. But, you know, when you think about some of our buildings that were built in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, you know, they're 50 to 70 years old at this point, and indoor air quality standards were much different back then.
Yes, they were.
School safety and security weren't even really an issue. I mean, I remember when I first came to the district in 94, 95, and on those warm days in the fall, we had huge fans at the end of the hallway and all the doors open and all the windows open. And, you know, when you think about some of the things that have happened in regard to school safety and security since then, that's really not an option anymore. And
right.
So our buildings weren't designed initially that way. And so we've done some things to rework them through the last two bond issues, but I think it'll be a high priority again on this one. Mm-hmm. The good news is we had just under 1,500 people that responded to the survey, which is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. We also had about 800 students involved beyond the 1,500 adults. And so it really gives our Board of Education and our community engagement group an idea of what the community is thinking and what their priorities are.
I
think one of the other themes that came across loud and clear is people are pretty satisfied with our facilities.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of that has to do with our facilities maintenance folks and our custodial folks. They do just a great job of keeping our facilities clean.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easy to kind of look at something and say, yeah, it's in really good shape when you're looking at a shiny floor. or you drive by and the grass looks good. But you know, the thing that we have to keep in mind is the buildings are aging. They do, we do have needs behind the walls, in the ceilings, under the floors, and so some of those are going to have to be addressed. You know, when you look at our high school, for example, one of the questions on the survey was, do we look at putting more money into the high school? Do we look at a new high school? And I think overwhelmingly the support was to put more money into the current high school. And I think it makes a lot of sense. We have a lot of areas of that building that have been touched in the last 20 years through the two bond issues. And then there's that center core and that two-story section that really haven't had a lot of work done to them. And so they're going to need some attention. It's always been a challenge getting into the Albaugh Gymnasium and the other gyms. You have to walk down some pretty long hallways. And so I think, you know, part of this might include a new entrance that would allow for better access to our facilities there. On the other end of the building, we've done a lot of work in the auditorium area. But, you know, our shops were built in the 50s and 60s, and they look like that. And when you look at career education today, it's much different than industrial arts that they were designed for. And so I think that could be a pretty big rework potentially as part of the bond issue. And then, as I already mentioned, our some of our elementaries built in the 50s, 60s, 70s, they may need to be torn down and rebuilt.
I see. Okay. Yeah. Well, we will see how we progress moving forward as they take that information and then prioritize it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Right. So thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Thanks for coming in this morning. Good information. Have a good day.
You too.
That's Mark Shepherd, the superintendent of Fremont Public Schools, with our weekly update. It is 7:21. Let's get to our local news update now with Chris Walls. And news this half hour is presented by Deers Ford in Fremont, a Nebraska family business since 1938, offering quality auto sales, service, parts, and body shop.
Good Thursday morning to you. Dodge County Sheriff Steve Hespen stopped in this.